Powered only by the wind and the sun, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that sleeps late every morning. And now, proving he wasn't born in a barn, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It is another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. It is a wonderful day in Arizona, and it's a wonderful day to host the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Why are we here, you might ask? You might say, how did I stumble onto this podcast, and why would I be interested in staying with it? Well, you might be interested if you have a Medicare encounter in your future. The closer that future is for you, the more likely that you're going to be delivered some valuable knowledge about Medicare by virtue of your association with this podcast. And by extension, the book I'm going to suggest that you buy, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. If you go to BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com and put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 into the search window, you're going to find a plethora of valuable Medicare knowledge that will help ease your encounter with Medicare. Hopefully, will remove some of the concern that you have, the confusion, the trepidation, the fear that you might feel as you face the approaching Medicare onslaught, and eventually, you'll be confident that what you did, based on my recommendations, was the right thing for you. You will have a confident and secure future that will last, that will stretch out in front of you for all of the days that you have left. And I'm assuming that's many, many, many days, because you know how people are lasting longer all the time. I never expected to make it to this age. All of my ancestors dropped dead. Well, all my male ancestors dropped dead at a much earlier age than I have reached. And frankly, every day when I hop out of bed, I say, is this a day I can get more Medicare involved? Yes, it is. And I'm so excited. So I'm hoping you'll share that Medicare joy with me. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 is what you're going to be looking for. And what I'm looking for right now is a guy who's drinking out of a mug that says, my kids have paws. That guy's name is Randy Carson. I'd like to know what your kids are all about, Randy. They have paws.
They do. They do. We have poodles, and then we have poodles, and then we have some more poodles.
Silly me. I was thinking about your three relatively recently acquired grandchildren, but those are not the ones with paws in.
That's not the ones that have got paws. But hey, did you see my sheet? Did you see my t-shirt here?
And I wanted to ask you about that. Stone Mountain, Georgia. I have not yet had the chance to be there. I've been through Georgia a million times. I've never been to Stone Mountain.
You got to go. It's really, some people call it the Southern Confederate version of Mount Rushmore.
Exactly, because it's got four Confederate generals on it, right?
Right.
Yep. And you asked me one time to name those four generals, and I think I accidentally did it correctly.
You did. You did. I wanted to, you know, let all the people in Georgia know that I have been there, got the t-shirt, thought it was one of the coolest things I have ever seen.
Well, we're very Southern friendly here at Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. So any of you in the Deep South that are thinking about contacting us to get some advice about Medicare, what should you buy, Medicare supplements or whatever, you're going to be welcomed with open arms, because I am a Southern boy myself. So come on in.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed the park. I would go back in a heartbeat. It's just one. I mean, okay. Let me admit it. When I was a kid, I didn't care about history.
Sure.
But now, the older I get, I've passed the point in my life where I'm now interested in history. So I found the Stone Mountain Park just really incredibly intriguing. And I spent a lot of time there, you know, studying this and studying that. And really, because they don't really teach you in school, or maybe I wasn't listening, but there's a lot of things they don't teach in school that kind of get passed over.
Could you give us a couple of quick examples?
No.
Okay. Well, very good then, because Randy's well aware that we try to limit the length of these podcasts.
Most of the things that got passed over with me was I didn't know a lot about the Confederacy at all.
Oh, okay. And see, I grew up in a family that reveres its Southern roots, including the Custis and the Lee families. I'm descended from both of those families. And of course, Light Horse Harry Lee was in the Revolution, and Robert E. Lee was figured prominently in the War of Northern Aggression, as we call it, around the Jones House. So, let's everybody go to Stone Mountain, because that's going to be a must see, as far as I'm concerned, the next time I get to Georgia.
So you haven't been there yet.
I passed through Georgia, I don't know how many times, and have not gone to Stone Mountain.
All right. So you need to get that on your bucket list, Mr. Jones.
I feel like a traitor to my history, but I also feel like a traitor to the podcasting audience if I don't get my rear end in gear and start dealing with some of this Medicare content we have.
Well, as the nominal producer, I would certainly encourage us to move on to the Medicare content before our 75 cents is gone.
All righty. Let me do that, because that 75 cents doesn't come easily. So I have here a couple of pieces of correspondence from clients, soon-to-be clients, and existing clients, and I thought I'd share them because I love them both. They both teach a different lesson, though. So one is from a client or a person who is not a client yet, and he wrote in and he said, Doug. Now, he must listen to the podcast because he didn't call me Douglas. Anybody who reads the book and goes to the website thinks that my name, Douglas, is what I am called by all of my friends. So he must listen to the podcast because he knows that Randy and other people call me Doug. So he said, Doug, having been covered by an HSA under my wife's employment since I turned 65 in 2013, he must be my age, I did sign up stupidly for a Medicare Advantage plan this year. At least, what did he say? He said stupidly. So that was the guy has the vision. He said, I was advised by a member of our local QA Medicare Advisory Group. I don't know what a QA Medicare Advisory Group is. I'm going to have to look that up. Anyway, having looked at this plan, I'm almost afraid to leave Tucson, where I live, in case of needing medical care outside the region. I guess I'm stuck with this plan until the next enrollment period, which would start October 15th, and the insurance that he buys then would go into effect January 1st. But I will be contacting you at that time to choose a supplemental plan and to drop the Medicare Advantage plan. Well, welcome aboard, sir. Welcome aboard. Now, he says, what I'm after is the cheapest plan, since I haven't used any medical services other than vaccinations in over 10 years. Randy's got his finger in the air.
High value G. I got that, man.
Well, there you go. High value, what the old timers call high deductible, but that's a scary, inaccurate name. Randy changed the name to high value, and that has caught on. We've had a lot of people use that name that I never would have expected. So I know that that's a name that rolls right off the lips. High value Medicare supplement. In any case, he says, I will be contacting with that. And what I'm after is the cheapest plan, since I haven't used any medical services other than vaccinations in over 10 years. My health is excellent. I'm not overweight. My blood pressure is low to normal. I exercise almost every day. I have no health issues and I take no drugs. Would be interested in the MSA if that is as it seems in your book. Otherwise, I would choose either the plan G or F and look at the cheapest Part D plan in order to prevent penalties down the road. My wife will turn 65 in June and will retire at that time. She will want the same plan as I have outlined for myself in June. I will talk to her and have her email you to get this started. I'm embarrassed to have entered into getting snookered by the QA salesman, but thank you for your book and your advice. What a nice guy. So I have sent him all the information his wife needs to get started. It's a questionnaire with some demographic information so that I can deliberately tell them, okay, here's what you need. for quoting purposes, but he has most of the information here. He lives in Tucson. His wife is going to be 65. So that's the bulk of it right there. I assume she doesn't smoke. I know she lives with another person, so there is a household discount availability. And I have sent all that information to them, including quotes for the Medicare supplements that I recommend. And he sent me back a short little note saying, okay, got it, and we'll be getting in touch with you later on. So it's always a pleasure to get correspondence like that. And now on the other side of the coin, if you take that coin and just turn it right over, now you're going to be looking at the flip side of that coin. I have a valued client who pretty much dragged me to the end of my patience over the weekend. And I am still recovering. I think he did it inadvertently. I don't think it was on purpose, but I know that I was kind of stressed out because of this attitude. And there is one client in the past who was referred to by a friend that I grew up with. I grew up with a guy in Wayne, Illinois. His sister was my age. He was a couple of years younger. And he referred an old friend of his to me. This was a couple of years ago. And that friend became so irritating and was such a butthead that I finally told him that he and I would each be happier every day if we did not know each other and if we didn't have to deal with each other. And I said, why don't you go find another person like me and deal with them? Oh, okay. And so now we have somebody here who I thought I was going to have the same conversation with. This gentleman lives in Maryland, but he's moving to Colorado for a while. And then he's going to go someplace else, and he's going to go someplace else. And he wrote me kind of a plaintive request. How can I possibly, since I'm leaving my job, I need to get on Medicare supplement or Advantage. What do you suggest? And what's going to happen when I move to all these other places? I guess maybe they have kids in various places, and they're going to go stay in the area of each of their children. And I was able to tell him, Medicare supplement will solve your problem. You get a Medicare supplement, it's good everywhere in the United States and possessions, and it's got some coverage for emergency medical treatment if you're in a foreign country. So I think this will be the solution to your problems. And he agreed. And so then I showed him all the available Medicare supplements. And I showed him Maryland prices, and I showed him Colorado prices, which were a lot more attractive. And he said, let's do Colorado. And so then he had some questions. And then last weekend, I think it was Saturday, I got a message from him saying, I don't feel comfortable giving you my bank account information. Now, it was on the questionnaire that I asked him to fill out, and he filled out everything but the bank account information part of the questionnaire and returned it to me. And then he sent a message saying, I don't feel comfortable giving you the bank account information. So then I had to write back to him and say, now, exactly what did you mean? Did you mean that you're not comfortable sending it through the internet, or that you don't want me to have your bank account information? Because believe me, I'm not going to be doing anything nefarious with your bank account. And he said, well, yeah, it's kind of both. So that tells me, okay, he didn't want me to have his bank account information because he doesn't trust me. All right. And I had to then spend a bunch of time explaining to him why the bank account information was needed. And the short version of that is that the insurance company will not issue coverage if they can't complete the contract at the time they approve the application. The contract has three parts: the offer, acceptance of that offer, and that's the application form, and their acceptance of the application form. And the third element is the exchange of valuable consideration. So if they can't draw the money for the first premium out of his checking account on the day they approve the application, they're not going to approve the application. And he kind of reluctantly said, okay, all right. Okay. Now, flash forward to the following day, and I said, oops, here's a piece of information that I neglected to ask you, because I'm doing an application for a company that I'm not always, it's not my primary company, but you qualify for a fairly stiff discount because you have a wife that you live with, and I need her full name and I need her date of birth in order to make sure that you get this discount when your application gets to the office, to the insurance company's home office. And he wrote back immediately. This is a text. I sent him a text saying, in order to qualify for the discount, I need your wife's full name and date of birth. And he answered me in a very flippant way and then went completely dark for the rest of the day. His answer was, she is not applying for coverage. Now, I already knew that because I'm filling out his application and there was no application for Mrs. Client. So therefore, I already knew that she wasn't applying for coverage. Don't, you know, tell me something I don't know. Just, you know, I don't ask these questions because I'm making up a birthday list to mail birthday cards to your wife on the appropriate date. I'm asking this question because it is in your best interest to offer me an answer, the information that I need, and then let me get back to my work. So anyway, I had to send this guy a text using my fat thumbs explaining why I was asking the question and how it was to his advantage. Nothing. He was dark. And so then I sent another text showing the photograph of that particular question on the application that says the same thing as I said in my prior text. I thought maybe he didn't believe it was on the application. So I took a picture of that portion of the application. Nothing. Still dark. Finally, I sent the application that I hoped would spur him onto action. I said, my plan B is to tell the insurance company that you refuse to answer. Nothing. Still dark. Finally, that's what I put down in that blank on the application. I sent it in. That was on Sunday. I faxed it to the insurance company. This particular insurance company is very, very quick with their underwriting and their approval process. I wish my favorite company was this quick. But I faxed that application in on Sunday. On Monday morning, I got an email indicating that the application had a missing answer and needed additional attention. And I went on. This was a lengthy answer. Or lengthy description of what needed to be done. And it said, you must have the applicant initial here and here if the applicant does not qualify for the household discount, or you must have the applicant initial here and there if the applicant does qualify and provide the information necessary for that qualification to go forward. And so I wrote to the applicant and I said, okay, here is a copy of the email that I got. These are the instructions. Do you want to pursue this or not? They're giving me 2 months before they close their file. Let me know if you want to provide that information and I'll help you do it one way. Let me know if you don't want to provide that information and I'll do it the other way. And if I don't hear from you in 2 months, then our association will be finished. It turns out after I pushed the send button that the insurance company called my applicant, my client, and explained that situation to him. And so he ponied up the information on the telephone because the next thing that happened was I got an email from the insurance company saying the application has been approved. And of course, why did I have to spend all of this time trying to explain to this guy and being ignored by my valued client? This was a very frustrating experience. So in any event, the approval was, the stamp of approval fell on his application, and all of that time wasted became a very frustrating experience. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm so frustrated I can't even form words properly. So if that guy ever gives me any more problems, I'm going to be very skeptical about continuing my relationship to him, with him, but hopefully everything will go smoothly from here on out. I just want to tell people that I don't ask questions because I'm nosy or I want to, throw a birthday party for your wife in this guy's case, and I want to know when to get everybody together for the celebration. There's a reason for everything that they ask on an application. There's a reason for everything that I'm going to ask you if you and I do business. So please don't think of me as being nosy. Please think of me as only working for your best interests. So what else do we have here? Remember Diane Omdahl? It seems like every time we have a podcast, I find a Diane Omdahl article that is relevant, I think, to people on Medicare, and especially to people on Medicare in Arizona, because we go out in the sun and make vitamin D all the time. Randy and I don't get out as much as we would like to because we work more than we should, but it is one of the things that people in Arizona do. They spend time in the sun. And for some people who are prone to skin cancer, like me, that becomes an exercise in risk. So I've got an article here by Diane Omdahl, who runs a Medicare advisory service that does not sell insurance up in Wisconsin. And she thinks her advice is the best in the world because she doesn't sell insurance. I sell insurance. I think my advice is the best in the world, but I like to share the articles where Diane and I agree on things. So here's a little article that she wrote for Forbes. Does Medicare cover an annual skin check? And she starts out, you can have fun in the sun, but remember to take care of your skin. A friend called me for advice after getting this message from her dermatologist's office. The message is, as recommended by the Skin Cancer Foundation, we encourage all patients to schedule an annual skin exam. My dermatologist tells me to come in every 6 months because I have a history of things being cut off of me. Anyway, her office went on and said, it has been more than 1 year since your last one. Please call us today. Obviously, they're trying to drum up business for the doctor, and there's nothing wrong with that. My friend wanted to know whether she should make this appointment. She has reasons for concern. And here are the reasons that she might be concerned. 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer by the age of 70. And in this case, Diane Omdahl's friend is 75 years old. Furthermore, more than 2 people die every hour from skin cancer. This woman's good friend died after 2 years after a diagnosis. And I'll just stick in a little sidebar here. My neighbor across the street has melanoma on the top of his head, and the process for cutting that melanoma out was painful and lengthy. And I didn't want to see him go through that. And I'm hoping that he never has a recurrence. And I hope I never have to go through it, or anybody I love should have to go through that. A large number of sunburns earlier in life shows an 80% higher chance of getting melanoma later in life. Well, by golly, that's what I did. Every summer, I was out in the sun early and often, and I burned to a crisp early in the summer every year when I was a kid. So I'm a great candidate for melanoma. Growing up in the 1960s, Diane Omdahl's friend spent considerable time outside. Back then, baby boomers did not know about the dangers of sun. Girls would apply baby oil as a tanning lotion. Even if they wanted to protect their skin, the first sun protection factor was invented in 1962, and it had a rating of 2, an SPF 2. Today, there's a range of products all the way to SPF 100. As a sidebar, again, I love sidebars. A friend of the family invented a sun elixir called Conquer Burn, spelled with a K, Conquer Burn. I love this stuff. We had free samples all over the house. It was basically just a white container that said Conquer Burn on it because it was like test marketing. This stuff smelled great. And my family just, we had like 100 of the bottles because this guy was a family friend. And we were always splashing that stuff on each other. And it was, all it did was soothed you after you had the sunburn. That's all it did. And it wasn't really helpful in prolonging your life or protecting you against skin cancer or melanoma. So back to Diane's article. My friend's question was, will Medicare pay for a skin check? After all the risky stuff we just talked about, it seems like that would be the last question on her mind. But anyway, unfortunately, Medicare does not cover skin cancer screening in any and asymptomatic people. In other words, if there are no skin issues, what a silly word, issues, Medicare won't pay for the exam. But Medicare can cover a visit initiated by a concerned patient who noticed skin changes. Here's a short list from the American Cancer Society of signs and symptoms that raise concerns. flat, firm, or pale or yellow areas that can look like a scar. Raised reddish patches that might be itchy or bleed. Raised growths or lumps, sometimes with a lower area in the center. Shiny, flat, pink areas on the skin or a pink pimple. Open sores that don't heal or that heal and then come back. Or wart-like growths. Those who have original Medicare can see a dermatologist who accepts Medicare assignment, and Medicare Advantage beneficiaries should find a provider in-network and check for referral and prior authorization requirements. That's one of the drawbacks of Medicare Advantage. You got to have permission to see a specialist, and if that permission is not granted in a timely manner, your condition may worsen while you're waiting for them to, the bean counters in this situation, to give you permission to see a specialist. Medicare supplement, not true at all. So then Diane Omdahl has a little personal note. Take a lesson from my husband, she says. I don't have a husband. That's Diane's husband. Her husband, Rich, had a patch of skin on his nose that just looked funny and didn't go away. It was no big deal, so he wasn't going to cry wolf. Diane finally made an appointment for him. That little patch turned out to be basal cell carcinoma, the most common type of skin cancer, and that's the type I've had, ladies and gentlemen, a lot. He had three more occurrences over the years. All were treated successfully with no complications, primarily because he sought early treatment. So the bottom line here is protect your skin. As we head into the summer season, remember these skin protection tips. Avoid indoor tanning booths. Stay in the shade whenever possible. Wear long sleeve shirts, long pants, and UV protective clothing. Put on sunglasses. Wear a hat that protects your face, ears, and the back of your neck. That's sounds kind of silly. Apply a broad spectrum sunscreen. Pay attention to your skin, take care of it, and don't hesitate to make an appointment with a dermatologist if something looks funny. Because remember what the bottom line of this particular article was: a Medicare visit can be covered if it's initiated by a concerned patient who notices skin changes. So anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting, because we don't think about that very often. Finally, bad news from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. They are negotiating new contracts with a statewide OBGYN group. We received a termination notice from Unified Women's Healthcare of UWH of Texas. The group plans to leave our networks at the end of May in 2023, unless we agree to its demands for higher rates. And those networks are the Blue Cross Medicare Advantage PPO and the Blue Cross Medicare Advantage HMO networks. If you need OBGYN services in Texas, you're not going to be able to, and you're covered by the Blue Cross Blue Shield for your Medicare Advantage plan, you're not going to be able to go see these OBGYN practitioners anymore and have the visit paid for by your health insurance, which is a Medicare Advantage plan. This is just an additional reminder that Medicare Advantage plans, during the course of the year that you're stuck with them from 1 year to the next, they can change. Your doctor can cease to be a part of the health insurance plan that you've purchased, and you can't do a thing about it. You'd have to go find a new doctor if you need treatment, or even if you just want treatment, you would have to go find a new doctor to take care of you, and that's not something that a lot of people are all excited about. So, Randy, I think probably I've done enough yakking for this particular episode. What do you think? Or do you want to hear me yak some more?
Well, I always enjoy your stories, but our 75 cents is gone.
Rats. Well, I guess we have to go then.
We're going to have to sign off, because I don't have personally another quarter today. So normally I would just throw another quarter in the meter, but I don't have one.
I'm saving mine for the next episode.
I know. Well, thank you all for joining us today. We thoroughly appreciate it. Without you, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun as it is with you. We have a number of different things that I always touch on to close out. Number one is Doug Jones is a licensed agent nationwide. He loves to get email at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check us out on the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We talked about the paperbacks, the audios, the Kindles, and all that good stuff. But see if you can find a place to give us a rating on the podcast and or the book. We would really thoroughly appreciate it because we are always in competition with the rest of the podcasting world, even though there really is no competition. You know how that goes, right, Doug? So anyway, we have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy originally from Oklahoma. No more. He is camped out in his fortress of solitude behind Cave Creek. And I think today I'm going to put him down at about 5,000 feet.
I'll take it. Thank you so much, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.